such terrible laws now against free speech. I mean, politicians misuse. We have such terrible laws now against free speech. I mean, politicians misusing their power to force you to think what they want you to think. And to its shame now, the Anglican Church has kowtowed to this, muzzling even its priests and all sorts of church officials, which is now causing a bit of a crisis. It all comes from Victoria's hard-left Labor government 4 years ago, passing a law to ban anyone from saying or doing anything to stop people identifying, say, oh, look, I'm gay, or I'm transgender, more particularly, I'm transgender. Or ban them even from saying, well, no, you're not really a boy in a girl's body, so do not cut off your breasts to become the real you. It's a law saying you can't do anything to change or hide someone's sexual orientation or gender identity, or what they say is their gender identity. New South Wales, by the way, and South Australia are getting similar laws. Joining me is author and Anglican priest Mark Durie, a senior research fellow at the Melbourne School of Theology and a writing fellow for the Middle East Forum. Mark, great to see you again. Tell us what the Anglican Church did after Victoria passed this law against telling people things like, well, maybe you shouldn't try to change your gender, or even praying that they didn't change their gender.
Well, this is the law, Andrew, that requires people to only affirm and not challenge or question someone's gender or sexual identity choice. And it's particularly an issue for children and young people. The idea that anyone involved in the young person's life could only affirm the choice and never challenge it or question it. So this was put into law in the Change and Suppression Act in Victoria. And towards the end of 2023, the Anglican Church took the principle at the heart of that law and put it into its child protection policy. So what that means is that every volunteer and every also member of staff of an Anglican church is required to act in accordance with, the church is saying that they have to act in accordance with this policy of only affirming and never challenging or questioning. So the law says it's actually illegal for someone to pray in a particular way that is against or in a different direction from affirming. It's illegal to provide pastoral care that doesn't affirm. So what the church has done, the Anglican Church has done, I must say I love the Anglican Church. I've been an Anglican pastor in Melbourne for 21 years. But what they did in 2023 is they made it obligatory for every person, every church worker, every volunteer to accept this policy of only affirming. And it means that you can't, for example, welcome someone at the church door or visit someone on behalf of the church or play the flute in the church band or pray in church publicly unless you have assented and signed a code of conduct requirement that you will only affirm gender and sexuality choices. And so it was extraordinary. And one of the results of that is that some people are questioning whether they can, in fact, continue as volunteers and active members in the Anglican Church.
Well, in fact, it's come to a head with already at least one person, the prominent Anglican activist Elizabeth Kendall. She was forced to stand down from her roles at one Melbourne Anglican congregation. And we've discussed this in the past, and I think you're reaching that moment of crisis yourself. Tell us about it.
Yes, Elizabeth is an amazing Australian. For many years, she's produced research reports on the persecution of Christians around the world and is a renowned world-leading activist in the area of religious persecution. In fact, Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world, and she's been a leader in exposing that. Well, this has driven her out of the church. She can't actually function in an Anglican church because when she realised she had to sign this document, she knew that she couldn't, that it was wrong. I have faced a similar situation. I've had what's called a permission to officiate in Melbourne Diocese, and that came up for renewal, which would have required me to reaffirm my commitment to the codes of conduct, and I found I was unable to do that. I think the code of conduct is abusive of children. It is damaging for children, so I was unable to sign it. So my permission to officiate is lapsing. I will no longer be, in a sense, licensed or allowed by the church to practice as a minister in Melbourne.